Blog Talk Radio.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
Sir Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Don't be like Rob Dick here.
Well, I just did it. I got Erica with me.
I'm here.
I got you now. We're smashing with you.
You're in the dark, Rob.
Rob is definitely in the dark.
I know, man.
I'm what are you doing?
Got a new laptop. I got a new work laptop today, and I don't know why it's showing up so dark.
Uh-oh.
You want to go to settings?
You know you like
way.
Huh? What was that, Dick?
Hey, guys.
I said you know you like when I threw up all the way.
Oh, here we go. What's up with the LSDs, man? Come on, man.
All I can see is the hat on my head. I can't even see my face.
We can see them when everybody smiles, though.
No, come on. Oh, no.
Oh, man.
We're having some
I gotta
fun.
See if there's
we're
some
having some
camera
fun.
Adjustment on camera. Here or something.
We can hear a slight echo.
We can only get the reclaimed computers. You can't get a brand new one.
No.
Refurbished.
Oh, you got an echo for me?
A slight one. I don't know if it's you, but we'll see how it plays out for sure. But again, welcome to another amazing episode of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We are a little tipsy, a little fun, a little happy because obviously Thanksgiving week is upon us, and we're getting a chance to spend time with family. But let's check in with the fellas. JQ, how you feeling, sir?
Oh man, I'm good. I'm sorry. A little reverb. I'm on my way home. I'm in the car with Erica. We went out. We were watching the first half of the Cincinnati Arkansas game, and headed back home. So I should be back on my pods here soon. But I'm good, man. How you doing?
We're doing good, and that's always Erica a pleasure to have
Erica football and basketball.
Hey, I love it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been a good day.
Yeah, it's close.
Yeah. Rob, how you feeling? Can't see you, Rob. How you feeling?
Hey, I'm feeling a little dark on this video, but.
Hey, that's the first time you ever said that.
Oh man.
That feeling good.
We're having fun. We got Lou on as well.
I got my daily dose of asparagus, so we all are good.
Yeah, I mentioned asparagus a couple weeks, man. It's kind of good that asparagus is making a comeback. So welcome from that perspective. Hey.
Obviously we're thinking different games, though, because I'm watching the UCLA-Gonzaga game, and there's anything but a close game right now.
Gonzaga is kicking UCLA's ass.
I expect it better. I mean, you know, this is the rematch of the final that went, trying to hope he was going to live up to that. But this isn't anything from it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a whooping happening right now.
Hey, they're shooting the ball well. He's a whooping. Drew Timmy. The freshman, Chet Holmgren. He's a string bean, but he's athletic. He can move.
Wow.
Well,
coasters, how you guys doing? Gary?
Yeah, we're doing all right. We're back in Curtis's. We're gonna do Thanksgiving over at my house. But a lot to be thankful for.
Yep. Still here. And loving it.
I love it. So, gentlemen, we're getting to these What did you say, Gary?
I said tough sports, sports week, but we're loving it.
That's okay. Right. That's why we're here. It's a time for therapy because sometimes we have some ups and downs each week for all of our teams, but we're going to stay through it. And that's why we're here to talk through everything. But, gentlemen, we have a lot of things to discuss. Let's kind of do a quick recap of the Bucks win, if you will. So go ahead, Rob. Get this party started, if you will, man. Get this party started.
All right, what are we doing?
The Bucks went over the Giants. I mean, you know, the ramifications, because it touches everybody. It touches Curtis and Gary because you had Jason Garrett. You had this whole, like, you know, cross-section of what happened. He got fired, obviously. It's like, what the fridge toast is going on?
Well, you know, it looked like Tampa Bay got back on track a little bit after losing two in a row, prior to their game. And, you know, obviously they got into a little bit of a shaky start. You know, Brady with that INT, I think like his third straight game was throwing at least one interception. But, you know, they were just too much, too many weapons. Gronkowski, Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Leonard Fournette. In the end, they were just too much. And that Giants offense is just putrid as a result of, you know, obviously Jason Garrett getting fired as a result of that. And you still haven't seen any major development out of Daniel Jones. Obviously, Saquon Barkley just coming back. But they got some weapons on that perimeter, and they're still not doing anything on offense with Kadarius Toney, Kenny Galladay. You know, they got some pretty good weapons, Evan Ingram at the tight end position. And you still just not see them put up numbers. And the only touchdown in that game was caught by an offensive tackle. So, I mean, where's the weapons? Where's Saquon Barkley? Where's Daniel Jones? I mean, they're just not getting anything on offense. And obviously, you know, you can't argue with the Jason Garrett firing. But ultimately, the Bucks,
no,
Bucks got back to business. But I tell you what, the Bucks at the Colts this Sunday is going to be a very intriguing game. I know we haven't got our predictions yet, but I am picking the Colts at home in Indianapolis.
Stop that. You know that's not happening.
Nah.
Hey. Well,
yeah.
That's
the coach seemed like, on the coach coming off of two straight beatings of like 30 points anyway, two straight victories with 20 or 30-something points.
I get all of that. But that interception was on Mike Evans, I don't know what he had happening. He must have been out there playing with boxing gloves on trying to catch that pass.
Yeah,
you're
right.
Right up in the air.
He did drop it.
So he dropped that one. He set him up. So that one I won't really put on Tom Brady. That one wasn't his fault. But, you know, when you're struggling, just play the Giants. And you get everything that ails you, you know, you get it fixed. And that's why I'm just being honest. The Giants are terrible. So, but it's what it is.
Yeah.
So you get the Buccaneers back on you know, on schedule. You know, yeah, Erica is from New York, so she's a Giants fan.
I don't appreciate what you're saying right now.
But Giants are terrible. That's why you had to fire Jason Garrett. And I feel like Joe Judge is probably coming behind him. I'm with you, Rob. The Giants have a lot of weapons wildly on offense. If they can get a trigger man to get it going and an offense coordinator to maximize the quarterback skills, they could find a way to be in games. Like, I don't know if they're going to, you know, they're not going to be a juggernaut by any chance. Stretch, but they've got weapons on the outside. But, you know, Tom Brady got off the side, and the Giants are just struggling. And I feel like, you know, Gallman's coming next. Hot dumpster fire. So the Giants are really,
sorry,
you
okay.
Know, that doesn't matter. But you talking about right now. So oh, my gosh. You talking about the Giants being the Patriots 2000 Super Bowl. But Tampa Bay did what they had to do to get back on schedule, and we'll see. But, I mean, did anybody really think the Giants had a chance to win that game at Tampa Bay? No.
No.
Nobody.
Nope.
I did.
Who did?
I watched the game.
Yeah, I watched all the games. I didn't give them a snowball chance to help me at Tampa Bay. Yeah, no. Hey, listen. Once you have you only get a couple games that you know are like that shock the system, and we had them all on Sunday. And once those got the way, you knew what was going to happen on Monday. Come on now.
Correct. Curtis Gary, the floor is yours.
Go ahead, Curtis.
Well, my perspective is, first of all, Daniel Jones doesn't seem to have any heart. He doesn't. And no heart. No clue. No desire. I don't know if he's just collecting a paycheck or he just lost interest. But the other two teams in my division won. Washington won and Philadelphia won. And Dallas lost. So in that division, it's not over yet.
No, not over yet. Well, the Cowboys are going to win that division. And I mean, there's no question about that. I mean, that part is over. But the wild card could get really interesting in the NFC. And you might see the Philadelphia Eagles and the Washington Redskins make a run or something like that. There's a possibility. You got to like the way the Eagles have been playing up late and winning 3 in a row. And the Washington football team has won 2 in a row. And Washington is getting it done on the defensive end. And quietly, Taylor Heineke is playing some pretty good football. And so is Jalen Hurts. So those two teams, you know, there's a log jam in that wild card race in the NFC right now. So there's got to be about 18. That's between in that 5-5, you know, 5-6 range. You've got a chance of getting those 6-7 seeds in the NFC right now. And the Eagles and the football team is in that mix.
I would say that both of those teams are a dark horse for even a wild card spot myself. But they are good enough on a given day to put it together and, you know, beat anybody. That's what I hate about these division games. I don't mind if they go into one of these other teams, but I always worry about those guys, and I'm sure like you guys have done over the years, those divisional rivals that are having a down year to come in and play your team like they're ready to win the Super Bowl. I hate that. That's what I see these teams have the ability to do. I don't like it.
Yeah, good
y'all
stuff.
Stop
and,
that. You know the Cowboys are winning that division. Stop that. You know they're going to win that division. Either one of those teams talking about. The Eagles and the Redskins are not making it in the wild card. You know it. I just good spotter, I guess.
They might
make
it.
Right.
Much to my dismay.
Just being honest.
But, they've had a nice little up and down kind of season or feelings because Gary, Curtis, so they have some little struggles here, obviously, and the tough game against the Chiefs. So what do you think about what's happening to the Cowboys right now?
Well, if you look at last week, they just played a Chiefs team that that's been hot and is playing good. And one of the topics is, are the Chiefs back? Well, yeah, they're back. They're playing good football. They were able to get a strong pass rush. And it wasn't our defense. Our defense didn't let us down. It was our offense that let us down. I don't think our offensive line, I think it's a little overrated. I don't think it's at the top of the offensive line or whatever. Mm. I don't see it at the top five. Maybe not even a top 10. When they're fully healthy on a given day, maybe barely a top 10. But they're definitely not a top 5. And we just ran into a team just playing good football, and they beat Dak up. They pressured him. The receivers didn't help out. We had two of our main receivers out. So... the other guys didn't step up. So that was a tough game for us. Will they Will they bounce back? Will they? The good thing about Dak Prescott, in my opinion, is that once he has a loss, he comes firing back to prove himself again. That's what Atlanta ran into. And that's what, and that's the same kind of player that's going to go against, who are they playing on Thanksgiving, the Raiders?
Yeah.
The Raiders.
Yeah, but they'll beat the
Raiders.
Raiders.
Curtis, what
do
you think?
Yeah, that, you know, that was a tall ass. And the Cowboys, I mean, the Chiefs, I think the Chiefs are going when they I think they're going back to the And
no.
This time, they may not lose. I think they're going to the Chiefs are going to win three Super Bowls in a row. With, I'm predicting that now. The Chiefs are back.
Wow,
no, they're not that
old man in Foxborough. You better watch that grumpy old man in Foxborough. Seems like he's making his way back.
Yeah.
Gotta watch
no,
those
it's
faces.
Buffalo. Yeah, it's Buffalo. Buffalo should have won those games. But Buffalo is letting them back in the game. And again, I agree with you on this, Curtis. That's a tough ass going to Arrowhead and beat Kansas City in one of the most raucous environments. And Rob has been there to see the Saints play. He can attest to it. That's a tough place to go get a win. And when you're down,
yep.
You know, wide receivers and whatnot, that's tough. So I'm not gonna hold that against Dallas. There are some games you're not gonna go undefeated. You know what I mean? Like there are some places you're gonna go and you're gonna catch a loss. You just expect Kansas City to be able to hold Dallas down in terms of their offense. But given what happened with the wide receivers, things happen. So I'm not gonna hold that against them. There's just places, there are certain games on the schedule you can say, okay, that might be a loss, and you just move on from it. So we'll see what happens. I really expect them to beat the brakes off the Raiders on Thursday, even without a Cooper and maybe CeeDee Lamb. But they have enough offensive weapons to get it done. So I'm not going to hold a funeral for the Cowboys. They have a terrible division. They have enough talent. They're playing a bad team on Thursday night on a short week. I expect Dallas to win.
Yeah. Totally agree.
Yeah,
we talked about this on last week's show that it was going to be tough for Dallas to go in there and beat Kansas City in Kansas City. And Kansas City's defense, if you look at the last few weeks, have made tremendous improvements. Now, you look at Chris Jones and the way he's been playing. Tyrann Mathieu, they're getting better play at the cornerback position right now. The rookie linebacker from Missouri has been playing really well as well. So their defense has really been playing a lot better. And Steve Spagnuolo, I don't think he's the best defensive coordinator in the league, but he's definitely made some improvements. And that's where it's getting done. You're starting to see Patrick Mahomes be a little bit more patient because, you know, every team is going to play cover two against the Chiefs right now. And he's just going to have to nickel and dime his way down the field and then hope for an opportunity to take a shot. But as long as he's been patient, and they keep playing defense like this, the Chiefs are going to be back in contention in the AFC. You got to watch Bill Belichick and the Patriots, though. Defensively, they're playing at a whole other level right now. And Mac Jones, the ball just not hitting the ground because he's just getting all these short completions, 22 out of 26. They're dinking and dunking their way down the field. And they're going to be a tough out. I don't know. Buffalo right now, you have to wonder what's going on with them. They can't run the football. And it's going to be tough for them to be successful in the playoffs if they can't run the football. And shucks, it's the way Jonathan Taylor ran all over them, they can't stop it either. But the coach got a hell of an offensive line, though. I don't know what's going on with Buffalo. To me, the hottest two teams in the AFC right now are the Patriots and the Chiefs. And those are probably – they're going to be two teams to watch down the stretch here.
Good stuff. I was waiting for Jakari Curtis to pop in or JQ to pop in, but that's okay. Looks like again we talked about the Chiefs are back, and you know like you said, take heart, you know Curtis Gary, because Cowboys will definitely win that division. We've already given you guys enough of that, and just like you say, you ran into like a really just a really tough situation at Arrowhead, too. So let's talk about the JQ. We're going to let you recap some of the winners for Week 11, if you will. That's what we got on the agenda, if you will, from this thing. Are you still good? Chicken? I don't know. You're probably transitioning, if you will.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I was transitioning. Well, you talked about it.
Okay.
It's wild to talk about the AFC because it's just been such a crapshoot what has happened. I'm be honest with you. I think quietly the Chargers were a really big winner for me. You know, they got off to a big lead, and then we were able to sustain against the Steelers. And with L.A. being a transient town, I don't know if you guys watched the game, but my Lord, it was a whole lot of terrible towels out there in L.A. And for Justin Herbert to come back and get that bomb to Mike Williams was really ridiculous. So I'm looking at that like, okay, I get the Chiefs their due for beating Dallas and Arrowhead. I think they did what they were supposed to do. But it was just some wild – it was just some really wild games this weekend. It's hard to make heads or tails of it.
Yep.
We talked about Buffalo. I think Tremaine Emmons, their middle linebacker, being out, he's been out the past three games, and guess what's happened for Buffalo? They've lost. So if I'm his agent, I'm trying to rip up that contract. Like, hey, my dude hasn't played, and we've lost. When Tremaine Emmons is man in the middle for the Buffalo defense, they're a difference maker, right? So
– yeah, right.
So I give you, to me it's really been the Chargers and also the Patriots as well taking command of that division, and they you got to capitalize on Buffalo's mistakes. So I would take those, the Chargers, the Chiefs, and the Patriots.
Yeah, the Chargers. Yeah, you're right. I watched that game too. It was 60%, at least 60% Steelers fans in there. I think part of that is L.A. is still a Raiders and Rams town. And they haven't quite adapted the Chargers yet, coming up from San Diego. And, it's a good opportunity for the visiting team to come in there and snatch up some tickets, especially a team like the Steelers that has the national following as well. But, the Chargers, in my opinion, should have won that game a lot more than what they did. They let the Steelers back in it. And but they got the clutch play down the stretch. Big touchdown pass by Justin Herbert to Mike Williams down the sidelines for them to win that game. And the Chargers is one of those teams that when you look at their roster, they got a lot of talent. And you talked about one of the winners, but not only the Chargers as a whole, but Austin Eckler was a huge winner with four touchdowns in that game. He was phenomenal. I mean, the only guy who outshined him was Jonathan Taylor, who was a huge winner on Sunday as well. But yeah, you got to look at New England right now. They're a winner. And I tell you what, Joe Mixon for the Bengals, he was mixing it up with the running game too.
Yeah.
And so
they're coming a long way though.
If Burrow's got that element in his back pocket, the Bengals are going to be tough to beat too.
Yeah,
it seemed like Rob, there was like 70% like Steelers fans. Man, there was like a ton there.
Yeah,
and I do say that it does seem like if you are going to Vegas, it's a great time to see your squad. To everyone wants to kind of like make a trip and go watch the game too, because that was
right.
They went home very disappointed, if you will, too, if you're a Steelers fans. But it looked like a ton of fans were out there for the Steelers.
Yeah.
Man, so. Just saying,
and Gary
and
JQ, man, y'all ain't here, man. I caught y'all in that audience.
Not a lot, about technical, but like 70%.
You had to go there.
Gary and JQ waving a terrible towels in that audience. JQ, you coming back from the airport, man. We saw you in that audience.
Man,
you're the hell out of here.
The amount of Steelers fans that were at that game. And you hit the nail on the head. They're not quite ready to embrace the Chargers there. But I think with Herbert there and the way that team is going to be competitive for quite some time if they draft well and things happen right, I think that team will get a loyal following, and I don't think it will take long. So, big win there.
The Chargers are playing in the stadium that only seat 25,000 fans last year. So they put 25,000 fans in that big stadium. I mean, the rest of the league is going to get eaten up.
The Steelers and the Green Bay Packers. And I've been to the Steelers game. Almost every stadium, they pack them in. They have been. So that's not a surprise. You know, L.A. is a great trip if you have money and you go to a game like that. And you're always going to have a lot of fun. But like Gary said, Justin Herbert has a lot of people excited. And if he keeps on doing what he's doing, they will start, the other people will embrace that. People like winning, and if he can keep winning, they'll support it.
Mm-hmm. Good call. Good stuff. Yep. I know we definitely.
Oh, I do want to say this. Briefly. I do want to say this. I regretfully I forgot. Gary told me he would eat something or he would jump off of something if the Patriots made the playoffs. And I forgot what it was. I'm trying to remember because Gary did.
You
got to
go back and
that.
Find those episodes, Andre.
Yeah.
I think he did.
Because Gary ain't going to send it.
Curtis. They haven't made squat yet, so just shut the hell up about our bet. We'll keep it between that.
Right.
Yeah. He said
oh,
shut
man.
The hell up about that.
He pulled
a Charlemagne.
Yeah. Shut the hell up forever. He put a Charlemagne on
it. So stop. I'm talking. Paying Curtis when Rob pays me.
Oh, damn. I thought
hey,
you
man,
got like a dinner
I gave
there.
You a few options. You hadn't even answered yet.
Oh man, we touched briefly on some wild cards here. I do want to get enough time because we got to talk about some college football. We got to talk about what happened with Michigan State getting their ass whipped by Ohio State. Mel Tucker, I know. But before we get to that, Rob, I do want to talk about. We got some predictions. We do want to kind of touch base on some top NFL prospects. You know, so let's touch on that. I'm not going to talk about the debacle that happened last week, man, but go ahead and talk about some prospects here because this shit is over. I'm done.
Well, Kayvon Thibodeau, edge rusher from Oregon, still the clear-cut number one pick in the draft as of right now, so we don't have to spend a whole lot of time on him. Evan Neal, number two, offensive lineman from Alabama, versatile. Project him as a tackle, could also slide inside and play guard. So he can play four positions on the offensive line. The big rival is Kenny Pickett, quarterback from Pittsburgh, slinging the football. He's all the way up to number three as the number one quarterback
wow.
in this in the draft. Matt Corral, quarterback from Ole Miss, is number four. He's the guy that I kind of really liked in the draft as well. Kyle Hamilton, safety from Notre Dame, didn't play this past week against Georgia Tech. But still projects as being that guy, actually from Atlanta, too. And number six, another riser in the draft, Akeem Ekwonu, offensive tackle from North Carolina State. So if you're watching a North Carolina State game, make sure you pay attention to number 79. He's the guy to play or to watch. He's moved up into the top
of the programs.
Of the draft. Number six,
right.
Derek Stingley Jr. Don't know if he's
Your
really
boy.
Hurt or if he just don't want to play. But he's still the talent, and he's number seven. You know, number seven pick in this particular top 32. Aiden Hutchinson. Yeah, I want to see what he's going to do against Ohio State on Saturday. He's going to be a guy to watch from Michigan. Ohio State offensive line is playing lights out right now. So can Hutchinson put any kind of rush on C.J. Stroud? Hutchinson has the potential to move into the top five, but he needs to have a big game against Ohio State if he's going to do that. But right now, he is number eight. And guess what, people? There is a Greek freak in college football, not just a Greek freak in the NBA.
Right.
George Kaflakos from Purdue, edge rusher. He's from Athens, Greece. He is the Greek freak in college football. 6'4", 275 pounds, tremendous athlete, can rush the passer. He's the guy that's been a difference maker for Purdue. He is at the number nine spot. And the Kobe Dean, one of the many great defensive players on Georgia's defense. He is number 10. Number 11, Garrett Wilson, wide receiver from Ohio State. Ohio State's got NFL studs at wide receiver, not just in this draft, but in future drafts too. I mean, they're loaded at the wide receiver position right now. Tyler Linderbaum from Iowa, he's a starting center. He can also play guard when he gets to the next level. And I'm going to skip around a little bit. Treylon Burks, big target, wide receiver from Arkansas. He's going to be a good one. Sam Howell, quarterback from North Carolina, is number 16. Malik Willis, quarterback from Liberty. I think he's broken the college football record for most broken tackles from a quarterback. You think of Cam Newton, but Malik Willis has done more. So he's number 17. Jordan Davis, big defensive tackle from Georgia.
I thought he'd be higher.
Number
19.
Jameson Williams, wide receiver from Alabama. He was a speedster. He's at number 21. JQ, Ahmad Gardner, cornerback from Cincinnati, number 23. Devin Lloyd, he showed you a peek of what he can do at Utah against Oregon the other night. Sideline to sideline, I mean, he had a nasty hit on a running back from Oregon. But Devin Lloyd, he is number 24.
Yes, Lord.
Chris Olave at number 25. And another quarterback, Carson Strong, quarterback from Nevada at number 27.
That's Nevada.
Drake London, he got hurt here in the middle of the season, wide receiver from USC. I got number 29, but he is a pure wide receiver. The only reason he's going this far in the first round, he doesn't have top-end speed. He runs at about 4.5. But you're talking about somebody who uses his body extremely well, with great hands, tremendous route runner, and he's 6'5". I think he can be a real, real good wide receiver coming out of this draft, Drake London from USC. You can see the whole top 32 on our Talking Sports with the 12th Man Facebook page.
JQ, you okay?
Yeah, I'm watching it in the Cincinnati Arkansas game. God, just get a
rebound.
Jesus. Oh, my God, get a rebound. He can't get a rebound. We suck.
Oh, Bob Huggins got to be hating that because you know Bob Huggins has some great defensive rebounding.
There's a sports talk show going on here, by the way, JQ, if you really want to, you know, there's a sports
talk
show.
What channel is that game
too,
on?
Man.
I got UCLA Gonzaga on.
It's on ESPN, too.
Yeah.
Oh.
Curtis, Gary, anything, any positive? I thought Jordan Davis would be higher. Now, again, I'm not complaining if he's around 19. That's right where the Falcons can pick, too. But that's still, you know, a whole other conversation. We need the offensive line.
Y'all ain't
going to
be no damn
19. Yeah.
If you don't stop that, y'all going to be 12.
I thought we'd be higher. I thought he would go higher. I wouldn't complain if he was in that range. That's what I'm talking. They were talking about he's like a top five.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, oh, he's around that. I'm like, oh, shit, we got an opportunity. So, you know, that's the difference maker.
Oh,
right
yeah,
there,
y'all can definitely get him at 12.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying. We need defensive line, offensive line, your mama, your daddy, greens, potatoes, maybe. Go ahead, Gary. Curtis, Gary, what y'all got?
Dude from Cincinnati, man, just at the rim, missed the dunk.
Well,
did they?
Well, I must be ahead of you, my bad.
We got nothing over here. Not enough Pac-12 people in that mock draft.
Let's get to some predictions here. I think right out the gate, the first game we had was the Cowboys. We know what's going to happen with that. We know that the Raiders are going to get their ass kicked because they're playing at Dallas, and Dallas is going to be pretty pissed off as far as what happened.
Raiders falling
with,
apart.
Raiders don't know what the hell is happening over there. They released some top picks and stuff like that too. So, you know, Derek Carr got the deer in his headlight look as always, you know. So, yeah, they started out pretty good. And then, so we know that, you know, Cowboys are going to take that game. You guys feel good, right?
Yeah.
You guys going to be okay? Okay. All right.
Yeah, we talk about
the next
about
game.
That.
This is
we
talk
about that pick. Big pick. And the Raiders. always
look at Garrett cracking
me
up.
Always talk
you feel good about that one.
Always talk about when your locker room gets distracted, the kid that had the accident, the firing of that coach, you lose the season. And for the Raiders, those two things are hugely.
Yes.
You know, you can't overcome that kind of stuff. That stuff is
right.
Hard.
Yes. Mike Matt looking over his shoulder. His support system is gone with John Gruden self-imploded over here. Oh, man, it's just – Rugg's gone. Arnett gone. Yeah, he's going to be in trouble, man. So, you know, we'll see how you better start warming up for the NFL
awful.
Network again. So, yeah, hold on to the conversation. Here. Hey, guys, you still need me to come back? I'm still ready to do some scouting. Let's talk about the next game, which is highly important for JQ here. We got the aforementioned Steelers at the Bengals, and, you know, are the Steelers going to be mad about what happened versus the Cowboys? You know, or the Bengals on that nice little high, mixing it up, as Rob said earlier. What you got, JQ? Come on, bro.
Come on, man. You know who I'm picking. Come on. Come on now.
Terrible towel. Get the F out of here.
You know you're going to live in a terrible towel, JQ.
We saw what happened the first time. It's going to happen the second time.
It's hard to beat a team twice, bro.
It's hard to beat a team three times. You can beat a team twice all the time. It's hard to beat a team three times.
I'm just asking with you, man. Rob,
I like
you,
the Bengals in that game, too. I mean, Pittsburgh still without a lot of defensive players. Not sure if they're going to be back this week. And Cincinnati's at home, and Cincinnati's got a lot of weapons on offense. I like the Bengals, and the Steelers' offense does not strike fear into you. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger is not 25 years old anymore.
He's looking terrible.
I like the Bengals in that game. I'm going to go 31-21.
Well, that's a good game.
Yeah,
I'm
picking Cincinnati also. And I just don't believe it. Yeah, I don't believe in Big Ben. I think Ben will not play next year. He's going to figure out. He's not the guy. I think Ben is over. And like you said, that defense with all those injuries.
We should figure this out.
But the Battle of Ohio goes to Cincinnati.
You agree with?
Okay, we'll leave it at that.
There it is. Let's talk about. I mean, Rob came out like hot, firing already. He didn't even get a chance to even talk. He said Colts all the way. Colts beating the Bucks. You still going to stand by that, Rob?
I stand by it. I'm going with the Colts. You gotta like the way they're playing. Frank Reich's doing a hell of a job. Their offensive line right now is playing lights out. I mean, Jonathan Taylor's playing lights out. Carson Wentz is doing what he needs to do. And defensively, they seem to be getting their mojo what they had on last year. I like the coach in this game.
Negative. You know the Bucks are gonna sit there and say, "I'm gonna stack that box. If you can beat me." With T.Y. Hilton's bad hip and Pittman's young self, God bless. What we're not going to do is let Jonathan Taylor go crazy on us. I just believe that Tampa Bay is not going to let that happen. They saw the film on it. They're going to let that happen. They're going to say Carson Wentz is a walking liability. He's going to throw somebody up our interception for no good reason because he's Carson Wentz.
That's true.
Tampa Bay may not cover. Tampa Bay wins.
I agree with JQ on that.
You know there's
only –
You guys realize that Jonathan Taylor has 8 straight games with over 100 yards from the scrimmage and how that's only happened twice in the last – that's only happened twice since 1959. And, you know who the other player is?
Ty
Bowles
is not going to let
that
happen again. Ty Bowles is not going to let that happen again.
You know who the other player who
– All I can think about is – Derrick Henry.
The player who did that?
He was still
there's
playing.
Only been one other player in the NFL since 1959 that did that.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Who was it?
Derrick Henry.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
Wow. That's impressive. Go ahead.
I can believe that.
We're trying to get that fun back.
I'm going with Tampa Bay as well.
Okay. Tampa Bay.
Well, I can't wait to get the text on Sunday whenever that goes down here. We'll see what happens here. What that actually happens. We'll see if Rob's gonna be like, I told you so, or like, you know, how much.
Yeah, I'm on a roll, man.
We'll see.
Hey, I picked the Chiefs. Y'all picked the Cowboys last week. I picked the Bengals. Y'all picked the Raiders. I'm on a roll.
I don't think we picked the Raiders. Who picked the Raiders?
I picked the Raiders.
You did? Okay. Okay.
And I told
JQ,
I said the Raiders are falling apart.
Okay.
He wouldn't even pick his own team.
Okay.
Nope.
He was trying to do reverse psychology on us, man.
No, I did not.
All right. I'm going to let Curtis and Gary
now I'm talking trash. So not a lot of coach probably going to lose.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm going with the coach still. I'm sticking with him.
Let's let Gary pick his favorite team here. We got the Patriots here going up against the Titans. And, you know, the Titans, it's been interesting because the Titans, you know, one day they look good and they get messed around and get beat by the Texans. You're like, what the hell is going on? Because they sit up there and whip up on the Rams. But when you're like, what? did you just not take the Texans seriously? Well, what's going on with that? They can't do that shit with the Patriots, but still the Patriots, they still ride high too. So this. I think the Patriots should take this one without any question here. So go ahead, Curtis, Gary.
I'm going with the Titans. You know why?
Well, that's your question.
Oh man!
They told Tannehill it's all on your shoulders, and they shouldn't have did that.
True.
They got to take a lot of pressure off of Tannehill because he's not going to be the one that's going to climb that mountain for you. So they got to figure that out.
Yeah, like stack the box. Yeah, Tannehill beat us, man. You're right. You're right. Go ahead.
I like the Patriots here. Ryan Tannehill looks like a below-average quarterback without Derrick Henry right now. And, you know, I like the Patriots here. And I don't know if the Patriots are going to pitch the back-to-back shutouts, but the Titans at the most score 10 points in this game, at the most. I'm going 28-10.
Wow. I agree.
New England.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they should get that ass whipped.
You know, Ryan, you know what I look at when it's Ryan Tannehill without Derrick Henry? It's a lot like Baker Mayfield when you don't have a healthy Chubb. Like there's certain quarterbacks that have to have a dominant running game to be able to play action pass off of and be able to go down the field off that. And when that element is not there for them, they get exposed. And we felt like we found out about Ryan Tannehill. He was like, oh, with Miami, with Tennessee. Well, we forgot he had freaking Derrick Henry, who was a tank, and who never got hurt until he got hurt. And now you're seeing when you put the shoulder game on his shoulders, Ryan Tannehill is not that good dude. He's still a wide receiver from Texas A&M. I'm going to go with the Patriots.
he said he's a wide receiver. He didn't get the quarterback, man. He's still the wide receiver.
Oh man.
This game is pretty interesting. We got the Rams and the Packers. Aaron Rodgers was very, very, very disappointed in the loss. It was painful for the Vikings, man. He was talking about how it just hurt his soul to lose to the Vikings here. So what's gonna happen? You know, when you got this Rams team, this Jekyll and Hyde Rams team again, you know, this is an interesting game. What say you for this, JQ?
As much as I think Aaron Rodgers is an idiot, he owns Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford, sometimes when he gets big games, goes back to being the Detroit Lions Matt Stafford. And we've seen it. When you don't expect anything out of him, he goes nuts. When it's a big game, he sucks. Big game, going to suck. Gonna go with the Packers.
like Bob Stoops.
I totally agree. This is gonna be Green Bay, and the Rams. The last couple of outings have really caused some concern, particularly on the line of scrimmage, offensive line. Everybody on the offensive line look like they're about 85 years old, and then
here we go.
Aaron Donald, it looks like he might be slowing down all of a sudden. And they get pushed around on the defensive line too. So the last couple of games they've lost, and they didn't look great in the trenches at all.
Yeah.
I like Green Bay in this game, and I think they win by at least 10 points in this game. I'm going to go 34-24 Green Bay.
You know what? I forgot. Green Bay lost a tackle to a torn ACL in the backyard. It's not going to play. I'm going to take the Rams only for that reason, is that the Green Bay has trouble on the offensive line because they don't have backyard coming back, and they lost what's his name? Not Jenkins. The other offensive tackle that was them to replace him, he got hurt. I think it's towards ACL in the game against Minnesota. So I'm going to go with the Rams only for that reason, that this is a get-healthy game for that defensive line. But Aaron Donald, when's the last time we said Aaron Donald? Man, he was a game-breaker in game X. Hasn't happened. They get healthy this week only because of that offensive line. That's the only reason. But I think it's a shootout.
It's interesting.
Yeah,
because
the thing with Aaron Donald is he can he's been taking plays off. You know, before, man, he was in there, in years past, he was just high motor guy. What I've seen this year is he's taking plays off, and you cannot do that against Aaron Rodgers. As much as I dislike Aaron Rodgers, and I think he's a dumbass for what he did. And he shouldn't even be playing right now, in my opinion. He is playing.
Wow.
And I do believe that. But I also want to say something about Stafford. You know, he played with the Lions. So you got to remember, he's not used to playing in big games. There were no big games. Or very, very few. So give him a little bit of break on that, all right?
You
play the
Thanksgiving, that's a big game.
That's a true statement.
That's a very good point.
If the Rams
that's a true statement.
Up, if the Rams don't keep up, Arizona is going to walk away with that division. And they got to realize that. They got to get on it. If the buck stops now. And if McVay is any kind of coach, this is the game they got to get. They got to get this game. I'm picking the Rams.
And it gave away every draft pick. They don't believe in draft picks. Like, F draft picks.
What's the weather going to be like in Green Bay? You got to look at that, too. A team coming from Los Angeles going to Green Bay. You know.
Frozen tundra.
You got to look at the weather and see if that's going to be an impact in the game, too.
Yeah. I was going to say just, and we're kind of talking about the trenches, if you will, and, San Francisco kind of gave the blueprint is pretty much run at them, and, you don't want to play that game, let the pass rushers go off if you're the Rams. So, and as you know, Matt LaFleur came from the Kyle Shanahan tree, so they're going to know how to get that ring in one, if you will, too. Now, obviously, the Rams are going to go down quietly, like we talked about, but it's going to be interesting to see, obviously talk about the tackling and stuff like that, too, man. So we'll see, because I'm pretty sure – they've got that good running scheme. They're gonna pretty much know we're gonna run and get you guys too. So that's something I think.
The game's all
Sunday,
right?
Yeah,
38 degrees. That's the high.
Yep.
Woo!
With a low of 25. JQ doing the same thing I'm doing, looking at the weather. But there's no snow or anything like that in the forecast. So I'm assuming it's a late afternoon game. And yeah, so, I mean, most of this game is probably going to be played in the 30s.
Low 30s.
Mm-hmm.
We got the last game of the pick here. We got the Browns at the Ravens. Pretty interesting game here because, obviously Lamar Jackson didn't play last game. And then you got this kind of up-and-down thing with Baker Mayfield. Is he going to get the extension? Rumors are he's not going to get the extension. We talked about, like you said, JQ, he didn't have Nick Chubb. Can his agent say, yo, we don't have Chubb. This is the guy that I need. But they are at the Ravens, if you will, too. So, it depends on who's playing quarterback, if you will, too. So, what say you on this one? I'm going to start West Coast, Curtis Gary, about this one.
Curtis, what do you think on this one?
Lamar, he's coming back with a vengeance. And
Lamar
Burton's
coming back?
Yeah,
Lamar.
I'm picking Baltimore to win the division. And Baltimore there's just that team that beats you up. And Baker's already beat up. But Chubb, makes a difference. But
yeah,
it's Baltimore's division, and they know it, and they're going to go get that butt.
I'm also going with Baltimore in this game. I just think they're a better team, and I do believe that they're going to win the division. And I don't think it's going to be a close game. I think they're going to beat them pretty good.
Yeah, I like Baltimore in this one too.
13.
I like Baltimore. Even if Lamar Jackson takes another week off, I still like Baltimore. But I'm going to, I think he's coming
Stop
back.
It.
And so I do. I still like Baltimore. But I think he's going to come back. And then if they get Hollywood Brown back too, it gives them another weapon too in the perimeter. Yeah, I like Baltimore. But I think the game, it's not going to be a blowout. I'm going to go Baltimore 20-13.
Well, I mean, I know I'm a homer, but I feel like the Bengals and the Ravens played a game this year, and I'm not mistaken. I think the Bengals won that game, didn't they? So I'm not just going to give the division away to the Ravens right now, because I'm pretty sure that we beat them the last time we played them. I think it was at Baltimore, wasn't it? Oh, I think so.
Wow.
Okay. But in this game, God, I'm going to go with Baltimore, because I feel like that tide is turning real bad in Cleveland. You hear, you talk about it. He's banged up. Baker's banged up, but fuck him anyway. I still go with Baltimore. I just don't think the Ravens, the Browns have it. But I'm going with the Ravens. But I'm not Brady, just division. Like, let's easy on that kind of talk. Like, they only are gang up on us. We won the last time we played them. Now, in 3 weeks, we can talk about if it's different, but not give them a damn thing yet.
You kind of chewed us out, and you went with the Ravens anyway.
I did.
Oh my god!
Hey, you know, Curtis got something against the Bengals, JQ. You know that already.
I was like, wait a minute, man. We won. Did we not win? Just won the game, okay?
We got about shout outs from back there. We got about 3 minutes here. I definitely want to get to JQ, and before we get to OT, brief OT, obviously, I want to talk about, thanks for messing up the brothers' chances of getting a contract extension, man. You know, why the hell, man? Mel Tucker was about to get the extension, and, Ohio State went ahead and just messed that up, man. Why you got to keep a brother down, man? Come on. He was just about to sign that extension, man. Come on, man. Why you had to whip his ass like that? At least not throw, like, 5 touchdowns in the first half, man. Come on. Six. Was it 5 or 6? Did he get 6 or something crazy?
That was his fault. Yes. You cannot let that come out during the week. If you want to do that next week when you play Penn State, do what you do. You cannot let that come out, because basically you're saying this is his first year. They're 9-1. It's like it's a foregone conclusion that you're going to go into Columbus to win this game. It's bulletin board material that's not trash talk, but please believe those dudes in Columbus were sitting there like, whoa. You're going to announce the contract extension on the week that you played us? Okay, let's kill them. So thank you, Michigan State, for giving those dudes more motivation to go out there and kick off in your ass, and that's what happened. So I'm not mad at Mel Tucker for trying to get his money, but that was very, very, very bad timing. I'm pretty sure they beat Penn State next week, but that's not what you want to do. Mm-mm.
But we talked about that. It was a perfect storm, though, because that the weakness of the Michigan State was the strength of Ohio State.
Yeah.
So we knew that was, like, they had the worst pass defense. They had the best offense. You knew that was, like, that wasn't good no matter how you want to spin that, though. Go ahead, Rob.
you pretty much took what I was just about to say, Andre. And, yeah, I mean, Michigan, we talked about it on last week's show. Michigan State's pass defense is one of the worst in the country, not just one of the worst in the Big Ten, but one of the worst in the country. And Ohio State's got NFL weapons at wide receiver position. Going to have 2 first-round picks in this year's draft. Probably going to have a few more first-round picks in next year's draft, or the year after the draft, in the wide receiver position. So they're loaded at the wide receiver position. And then, as much as JQ bashes him, C.J. Stroud is the leading candidate for the Heisman at the quarterback
position. That's amazing. He was like, damn it. I don't want to like it.
Well, we're going to find out on Saturday. Mm-hmm. We're going to find out on Saturday. True freshmen are going to Ann Arbor. First time in the game.
So
we're going to find out a whole lot about CJ Stroud.
You know,
we're
talking about Stroud, and we're talking about the weapons of wide receiver, but you got Henderson at running back. Ohio State's offensive line is playing lights out right now. Their defense is playing much better. They are almost in Georgia's league right now. I mean, they're clearly, to me,
almost
either the best or the second best team in college football.
Rat poison. I don't like to hear it. It's rat poison, like Nick Saban said.
Rat poison. Rat poison.
Unless Aiden Hutchinson finds a way to beat that offensive line and put some pressure on Stroud, Michigan don't have a chance. I don't think they beat Michigan as bad as they beat Michigan State, but I think they can win this game by at least two touchdowns still.
I'm not listening to that.
Well, my only concern is, what is this through the hardball? If he gets blown out in this game, he might be getting fired at halftime. Harbaugh better come out and be there at the end. They really got to go in there and get it done. But I don't think they're going to win. Ohio State is fine. They're going to do something Oregon couldn't do. Be focused on the big prize. Be focused on the big prize. They got a chance to be national champs. And that's going to be the key.
Well, when you're with those two teams going at it, that's going to be a good matchup. I don't think it's going to be a two-touchdown game myself. I think it's going to be a pretty good game. I do think the Buckeyes are going to win. And when you're in Michigan, you hire a coach to do one thing.
Beat Ohio State.
Beat the Buckeyes. And they have not hired that coach. So who's going to be their next coach?
Gary, I love it.
Maybe it's Jason Garrett. Anyway, go ahead.
Yes, please.
Rich Rodriguez is coming back. No. I'm joking.
The Falcons have him locked up.
Oh, my God. Please, no. Lord have mercy. I told you what I felt. We need to get a disciple of Kyle Shanahan because that's some bull. But as we get ready for the OC, though, but typically whenever you hire coaches, though, some guys don't have the fire. Like whenever you come in, you should be like, yo, my mission is if we're at least 1-9, at least that one win is going to be against the other team. You got to come in like, yo, I want to beat my rival. And Jim Harbaugh, I don't really care. I'm like, what the hell? Like Jim Tressel was like, yo, I ain't losing to Michigan, right? That dude was like, I ain't losing to Michigan. We can be 1-9. But I ain't losing. That was like his thing. And everyone's like, Harbaugh's like, yeah, it's just a game. Like, no, it's not just a game. That shit is a rivalry.
It's not just a game.
I ain't filling up the gas. I ain't getting, Woody Hayes. Like, it was like hilarious to hear. Like, they were like talking about that whole thing, man. So that's what you want to bring if you're playing. I don't think, like you said, Gary, I don't think Harbaugh has that kind of like desire to whip Ohio State. He's like, yeah, whatever. That's the problem. Let's get the OT going.
Well, you heard what Ryan Day said. He said when he took out the starters, he already started thinking about playing Michigan next week when they were in that game against Michigan State. I said, come on, Ryan Day. Like, I like it, but you can't admit to thinking about next week halfway through the third quarter. Like, come on, baby. Like, lie to me.
Man, come on.
Come on,
that game against Michigan State was over at the end of the first quarter. He should have been thinking about Michigan.
That's what you're talking about.
At the start of the second quarter.
That's what I'm saying. He's like, yo, this is over. Man, come on.
It took him so long to start thinking about Michigan.
It was already over. It was over, bro.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you all recognize that music. That is the end of our live portion of the show. We thank you all for tuning in. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of the show live. So click on the same link the rest of the week to get the rest of the show. Hey, next Tuesday night, we're going to be back at you, 11 p.m. Eastern Time in Philadelphia. We're going to be back at you, 10 p.m. Central in Chicago, 9 p.m. Mountain in Albuquerque, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time in Fresno. Make sure you tune in on next Tuesday night. I want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Good night, people.
Good night,
yes,
people. Happy
thank you. Absolutely. Absolutely happy Thanksgiving. But, Laura, please, football guys, I don't know who decides to have us play Michigan and the Bengals play Pittsburgh in back-to-back days. Like, my ticker can't take that. Like, I ain't got a pacemaker yet. Like, I need some help, please. Let's stop doing this to me. Let's not do this on the same weekend. You know what I mean? Like, I would love to be 2-0, but 0-2 would be so bad I might go outside and just start setting some shit on fire. So, please, knock on all the wood. Let's go. Football.
Well, those two games get over the fact that you got to watch Detroit and Chicago on Thanksgiving, all right?
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, I know, Rob. Oh, my God. Don't get me started on that.
Sunday.
Oh, man.
Detroit may get their first win.
Ooh, they might.
Oh man.
You know what would be awesome if they tied again? What if they tied again, Gary?
That would be amazing.
I saw that post after the game where they tied, you know, during his press conference. And it was like they had just won something. And I go, you know what, dude? You tied. But I guess if you're Detroit and you get a tie, that's a
win. Win.
That's a win.
That's the kind of big games that Matthew Stafford was in.
There it is. Man, and just to say this, we have so many memes. As much as I hated the loss of the Patriots, they're like, you can't lose if you don't, you can't give a lead if you don't have a lead. I'm like, ah, that's good, man.
That's so bad.
they were going, I was like, man, that was some bad. Hey, so really quickly, and that'd be funny because, you know, you hear the rumors of Matt Nagy is going to get let go by the Bears. That would be a good, you know, parting shot to get beat by the Lions. Like, this is how I'm going to leave this organization. He may just kind of give up the ghost. Like, F y'all, man. I don't care.
He might not make it out of Detroit if that happens.
Yeah. Just go ahead. Just like,
He may not even be let back on team plane.
Find his own way back to Chicago.
Better take that Amtrak.
He's going to take that Amtrak.
Oh, my. He said
he's
going to
win or start gambling.
Oh, my God.
I think that's a few more coaches getting fired. But what I'm looking for in some of these firings is how many black coaches are going to get shot. Yes, how many black coordinators are going to get a shot. Because there are going to be some openings this NFL season.
I hope so. Joe Judge? Shit. That dude should never get hired, man.
Hey.
That's what we're
talking about. Todd Bowles in Tampa. I mean, he should be ready to be a head coach again. Eric Bieniemy of the Chiefs. You know, when is he getting his shot? So there are definitely some candidates out there. You want to see them get that head coaching opportunity. And even though Buffalo is on a downward spiral, it seems like Leslie Frazier, why he didn't get a second chance to be a head coach. So there's
definitely
some candidates out there for sure.
Yeah.
I'm jaded.
Todd Bowles.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You jaded?
Yeah, I'm real jaded. No, I just don't see that happening.
Well, it's tough to break into the good old boy network. You know?
Yeah.
It really is, and it's too bad because there are a lot of good coaching candidates out there. And
when they get
there should be some equal opportunity. And hopefully some of them will have an opportunity. We need more diversity.
Yeah, you need some good guys.
So.
Yeah.
I hope so. It's one of those things I need to see it before I believe it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, speaking of diversity, this next Blazer game that they're going to have, it's a Blazer game where they're celebrating, you know, different cultures, different gay, lesbian, you know, all that stuff. I'm going to get one of those jerseys if they have them. available.
Okay.
So it'll probably be a gay pride jersey I'm getting. And I'll wear that because I've got friends that have been discriminated against, you know, and I just think it's horrible, discrimination of any kind. So I'm glad that the Blazers mm-hmm. are doing that. I don't know if it's across the NBA or if it's just Portland. And if it is just Portland, I hope that other teams do that. I don't think they will in Dallas or San Antonio or some of these conservative states, but maybe some of the other states will.
Wow.
You know, hey, that's a fact. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that they see that this is a good thing.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Well, like I said, I know we wanted to get a couple of topics here. We didn't get a chance to do fantasy shout-outs. Rob, if you want to talk through that briefly, and then if you guys want to pick a last topic, and we'll wrap up this show as we get prepared for an amazing Thanksgiving holiday time. So go ahead and do that. We can kind of wrap this up, if you will.
Yeah, before I get to the fantasy shout-outs really quick, you know, to Gary's point, you know, about conservative states, and particularly, you know, here in the South, you know what's interesting? You see more Black Lives Matter signs in states like Oregon, Washington, and no kidding, Vermont, Maine, New Hampshire. When I hopped through those states, there were Black Lives Matter signs everywhere in those states, and the black population is only in those states about 2 to 5%. But you don't see Black Lives Matter signs, and you don't see Black Lives Matter signs in Florida, Georgia, Louisiana, where they have more black populations, which you see them in those states, the more liberal states, which is mind-boggling to me. But you know, to piggyback off of what Gary was just saying there. But we'll get back to the fantasy shout-outs here. All right, league number one, the biggest win of the week, head of table, that's Chris from Orlando. He had the biggest win of the week, 188.28 to Purple Gold Patrols, 113.42. Gentilly Hot Sausage still in first place with an 8-3 record. League number two, JQ's team, Ohio Players, had the biggest win of the week, 182.20 to Bears Nation, 51.10. JQ's team, first place at 11-0. League number three, my team had the biggest win of the week, Built Four Tough, 117.22 over the Kings team, 58.24. And Chester, his team, Kraken, is in first place with an 11-0 record as well. League number four, Andre, give Marcy a shout-out. Marcy's team had the biggest win of the week. Baby Got Backfield, 179.68 to Birds Flew South, 64.24. My team flashed forward and moved into first place with an 8-3 record.
Uh-oh.
And then in fantasy basketball, biggest win of the week, Matthew from Indianapolis, Heart High Fives with an 8-1 victory over CKD Black Belt. And Pass the Rock, Chester from New Orleans, moves in the first place with a 32-13 record. And those are the fantasy shout-outs
of the week. I'm taking that shit back, though. My team is out in first place, though, in Black Lives Matters. It ain't in first place.
No, I'll pass you up, bro.
I'm coming back. I lost two of them, man. It's been a rough week, man.
Got the same record, but I guess they're giving me the tiebreaker since I beat you.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable, man. I need to take that shit back. Pass the Rock just got me too, man. I was upsetting. I knew I should have changed a couple things, and I did not, and that kind of like paid for it because I was DJing, so that's on me. So, but I'm going to hold that stranglehold. Gentlemen, let's go ahead and do this last couple of topics here as we get ready to wrap up, because I know you guys want to get ready for Thanksgiving and whatnot too. So you guys can pick your topic, and then we can kind of wrap things up too. So the floor is yours, gentlemen. So we'll start with you, JQ.
Well, I guess we got to talk about it because we hadn't touched on it. I think LeBron just lost it in that moment. he definitely just punched Isaiah Stewart directly in his face, trying to box him out, and he got tired of that young dude trying to be all up in his grill, and he lost it for a second. I think that if Stewart hadn't lost his mind like that, I don't think either one of them would have got suspended. But once Stewart lost his mind and tried to fight everybody in the arena, the NBA had to do something. So, they both got suspended. So I'm not going to absolve LeBron of that. I don't think he's a dirty player. But in that moment, he got frustrated with that dude. He punched him in the face. And I got nothing else to say about it. He punched him in the face. Got suspended today. He lost to the Knicks, a large part because he didn't play. But, you know, it is what it is. He's got to, you know, he needs to talk to that dude and say, hey, don't just apologize. I didn't mean it. I think he has to say, you know what, you got in my skin a little bit and I hit you. Yeah. And that's what it is. Thank you for that. The Lakers, they have issues. And I think that was part of him being frustrated with the Lakers' issues during the season. He lost it. He punched that dude in his face. But he deserved to get suspended. He got lucky. It was only one game. I think he wouldn't have any if it hadn't been Stewart reacting that way. But the NBA could look at that tape. And his name is not LeBron James. He probably gets suspended for 5 games, if we're being honest.
Sure.
So we'll see where they go from here from that. But just saying, punch the dude in his face.
Yeah, I thought it was intentional, too. And, I don't think it was an accident at all. I definitely think it was an intentional move. And I thought 2 to 3 games was more sufficient for LeBron in this situation. I don't know about 5, but I definitely think he should have been suspended for at least 2 to 3 games for what happened as opposed to 1 game. So I definitely think he got off easy. But, hey, save your Lakers $500,000 against the salary cap, you know, by him being suspended.
I'm not paying them no mind. They're the Lakers. They got money. They worried about $500,000. They need to sell a damn team to somebody else. That ain't the problem. You got to get them boys under control.
So much, you're right. Money's not a problem for the Lakers, but you still got to abide under the salary cap. So you never know what kind of player they may need down the stretch, with freeing up that kind of salary cap.
That motherfucker's getting $500,000. They're going to make no difference.
I'm coming, JQ. I'm coming, JQ. I've been practicing 3,000 jumpers a day for $500,000. I got
like
you,
man. A team like the Lakers, man. A team like the Lakers, man, will get somebody to come in for that veteran's minimum.
I got you, man. Veteran's minimum. I come in.
I guess. I'm just saying. If a dude's a dope $500,000, there's a reason why he's available for $500,000. I don't know what he's going to do to help you.
Call me Lakers. $500,000, I got y'all.
That little up and under move you have, Andre, ain't gonna work in NBA.
I perfected that. I added a little something else to that too, by the way. Just to let you know, that's been like 30 years.
It isn't working with me, so it ain't gonna work in NBA.
Man, that was 30 years ago, man. Come on, I got something for it. I got something for that too.
Well. You guys just put up a picture of the man with 35 seconds left in New York, a chance to cut it to 3, 35 seconds left. He threw up a brick.
Westbrook did. Yeah.
Westbrook, yeah.
That was tonight. Not clutch.
Yeah, my
not self aware. Man.
The Blazers have won 4 straight now. And I think we're having a good home stand. Let's see if we can win a game or two on the road.
My father in law.
Zagan is officially with UCLA. Tell you this freshman Chet Holmgren, 15 points, 6 rebounds, and 4 blocks.
Yeah.
Oof.
My father was saying that the Lakers are just they're a bunch of contracts, not a team. They should play zone and bring back the triangle to keep Westbrook from dominating the ball and stop shooting threes. That's what he just said. I was like, bring back the triangle, man. They gonna do that? That's like everyone's kind of picking for real. Curtis, Gary, what you guys got as we wrap this up? I mean, we'll throw that there because Rob didn't really say what he wanted to say too. So I know you didn't do your last little thing here.
Well,
we're going all off the rails here.
Let's talk about some of the calls in the NBA. I mean, not NFL. These referees are really bothering me in these games. Some of these roughing the passer, some of the pass interference. Man, they're making it hard to play defense. And like I said, I'm wondering how much defenses are losing money because the league wants to see more touchdowns, more good quarterbacking, and less defense. I'm not liking that trend. I'm really not. And the referees, watch the game and watch some of this referee. It's a mess.
Yeah, it seems like they have kind of a break of these calls against the defensive line, causing the offensive lines to, you know, false start or whatever that new rule is or whatever. And what a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, I hate the fact that they're not. It seems like every call is like pass interference too, though.
You got to stack the quarterback. And you can't, you know, you've got to try and land on the side of him. If you land over, you know, I mean, are you shitting me? This is why a guy like Brady can play for 20 years. If he were playing in the 80s or the 70s or even the early 90s, he'd have been out 10 years ago. Just like the rest of the great quarterbacks that played in those generations. You know, 12 years, man, that was about max. You know, very rarely.
And Brady's admitted to that. He's admitted to that.
That's
the reason why he's still able to play for so long.
Right.
They protect the quarterback.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm so frustrated with this, you know, with the, they've just strapped the defenses. You can't even play.
Yeah.
You can't even have a safety play safety. You know, you can't have that hard-hitting safety anymore. That dislodges
that
wire, or you didn't give the receiver a chance to catch the ball. You know, just bullshit calls. It's frustrating.
Yeah,
what's your take?
It is very tough. Yeah,
but the officiating has been bad, even by the rules that the NFL has in place. The officiating has been—they have missed several calls this year. And really have made the could have been the difference in a lot of these games, actually. You know, a lot of these NFL games are, you know,
so close.
Four or five plays is the difference in the football game. And, you know, I've seen countless times. This year has been by far one of the worst officiated seasons that I've seen in a long time. Even on the rules that they have, even though a lot of the rules, like you're saying, Gary, are bogus, but they're missing calls even with the rules that they have in place. It's been that bad. It's really been bad now for about 4 or 5 years, but this year it's gotten progressively worse. And you know, one of the problems is the NFL will not make their referees full-time employees at NFL, and they need to. They need to be studying and practice officiating year-round to perfect their craft.
Yeah.
And the NFL continues with all the money that they have, continue to be cheap. With these NFL officials, and that's why we're seeing a poor product when it comes to the officiating.
I think we hit the nail on the head with that one, Rob. You know, I got this above my TV in my living room. I've got those two pictures of my dad that were at his memorial, and I'm looking at him this weekend up above the TV and where he used to sit, and I'm thinking, he had been blowing a freaking gasket right now at some of these calls. I mean, he would have just been launching himself out of the TV. You know, this is bullshit, you know, because of these same exact calls. What can we do as a grassroots campaign to bring this to their attention? You spend money on everything else, all these other things. Equipment, you know, teams, whatever it is. I think the officials are just as big a part or a bigger part of the game than anything. You're right. They should be full-time employees so that they can go over these things that they missed calls on.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they should do. They should split the games up again and say, you're officiating them again. This is our classroom scenario. And do that all year long. And then maybe next year, if that were the case in a hypothetical world, maybe next year we could have a product that we can watch and not be so frustrated with.
Yeah.
If your team's getting your ass kicked at one thing, but if your team's losing on a bullshit call or a couple of bullshit calls, that's uncalled for. That's frustrating.
Yeah. You got to pay the referees. You know, Hitler got to stop trying to keep all the money for himself. You know, pay the referees. Don't make any sense.
We knew that was coming.
Pay the referees.
He had to put Hitler
at
some point.
I've been saying this for years, man. You might as well put skirts on the quarterbacks because you can't touch them.
All right, Hammer. We got you. Gentlemen, as always, I know JQ's yawning. I'm yawning. It's been what a great show, again, as always. I'm right there with you. So, again, want to thank you for joining in. Gentlemen, it's always great to see you guys. Hope you guys have a safe, very safe, and now you got Rob doing it too. Very safe Thanksgiving holiday week. I know that's – I'm about to be honest. I'm about to stop this. Curtis, Gary, it's always a pleasure to see you guys. Love your energy. Keep that going. Glad JQ was able to call in and show some love to Erica and getting on this show too. That was awesome. And then I don't know what it is with Lou. I mean, every time I hang up, he still calls in. So, I mean, it's just weird, man. So, but, you know, I don't know. But that's my two cents. But other than that, he's hilarious whenever he does, like, chime in if he does listen. But you guys have a great, Turkey Day. Have some fun. And we'll see what happens, man. We'll see if the reports are true about Nagy getting fired. We'll see if Detroit pulls it off. It's going to be interesting. Ever say the least, man. Awesome. No. Gentlemen, have a good one, guys.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Okay?
Hey, I know everybody's
happy
looking
Thanksgiving,
for
gentlemen.
Some turkey and a ham, but I'm looking for some sweet potato pie.
Oh, gosh.
Ham, potatoes. Nah, it's all good. There's a turkey shortage, man. Be careful out there, man. Don't get too nuts, man.
Sweet potato pie. Well, you know. And in New Orleans, of course, gumbo. You got to have your gumbo on Thanksgiving Day, too.
Don't eat any asparagus, Rob. Don't eat any asparagus, man, on Thanksgiving, bro. Don't do it, man.
No. I'll take an asparagus day break.
Man, they have mercy.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. We'll see you guys next week. Be good.
All right.
All right, John. Peace. Thanksgiving.
Peace.
Yep. All right. Happy Thanksgiving, gentlemen. All right.
Yep.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Fresno, I want to know if y'all...